I shall not want. He begins to talk about the sweetness of the shepherd. And you and I look at that, it's a sweet song. It is, I mean, it's one of the most beloved. Somebody said, for some reason I'm thinking it's Spurgeon, I don't know. He said, this in your Bible has no title. You know, many of the Psalms have a titling above them. And really, even on Psalm 22, it does. It says, to the chief musician upon Alajeth Shahar, a Psalm of David. But this one has no titling above it. And you know what? You think about that. There's no title that you can give the sweetest song that you know. I mean, it's just the sweetness of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, isn't that just a beautiful song? And for many folks, through times of sickness, through times of death, through times of despair, this has been the psalm that they turn to. I hear people a lot of times and talk about at a funeral, and maybe you ask the family and say, is there anything that you'd like for me to read or something that would be appropriate? And they'd say, well, you know, my parent or my spouse, whoever it was, loved to hear the 23rd Psalm. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that good? That it is something that can give us some comfort and some help, even in those desperate hours of sickness and pain, sorrow, whatever's going on. There's something about that. But then jump into the 24th Psalm. And again, this one has no titling to it. But listen to it. It's not very long. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. Let's have a word of prayer, if you will. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this afternoon. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us. Thank you for the good songs, and thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of worship. I pray now you get some honor and glory and praise out of everything that's been said. Thank you for the services of earlier today and for how you just met with us and blessed us. And I pray now, just speak to our hearts. Give us something this evening out of your word. Stir us and draw us up close to you. Let us be made, fashioned, modeled more like you in our lives and in our doings and in our ways. And Lord, may we even lift up that name that's above every name in everything that we do. May we praise you and give you worship tonight. We'll thank you for what's all done. In Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this, and as I said, you look at these, and you just saw, we just saw the sweet psalm, the sweet psalm of the shepherd. And the first one, you know, that's the sad psalm of the sacrifice. I mean, Jesus giving his life, and then you see the sweetness in 23. But look in 24, Psalm number 24, and you say, well, what could that be? And I think I told you this morning, we could say that this is the sublime psalm of the sovereign. The sublime psalm of the song. This is a song that is a song of glory. It's a song that tells us about our God. I mean, you and I ought to realize, man, when we're singing or when we're in that mode of contemplating even who God is. Man, we want to get into a place where we can realize that the very top, the very highest, the very utmost that you and I can look about and think of is the fact that our God is the Lord. Amen? I mean, and just read this again with me as you begin to look at it and see what he is saying. Look here at the very first verse. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein." He begins to tell us at this time that God is the God of everything. Amen? Aren't you glad that you know the God that is the God of everything? Listen, as you look at Psalm number 23, and as I say, you get through all of the syrupy sweetness of that, and you begin to think about, as you get to the end of that, the Bible says, hey, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen? Goodness and mercy going to follow me. But do you see how that the connection comes in between those two psalms? I mean, here's the 23rd psalm, and it's a psalm of sweetness. It's a psalm of the goodness of God. And about at the end of that, he said, surely I'm going to dwell in the house of my Lord forever. I'm going to be in the presence of an almighty God, and it's going to be for all time. Amen? Isn't that good to know that? But then he says, let me tell you a little bit about this God that we're singing about. Let me just tell you a little bit about him and what he's got to say and what he's going to do for every one of us. Woo! Hey, let me just tell you, glory to God tonight, amen? I'm just excited about the fact that we can look at him and talk about him as our sovereign king and our God that is the God of all God. As a matter of fact, as the writer comes down into the bottom of this in the last few verses of it, in verse 8 and verse 10, he makes this question. He says, who is the King of glory? Who is he? He said, I want to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of all time, the utmost, the high. It is the Lord God of heaven. Amen. And you and I get the chance and the opportunity and the blessing to worship him in our lives. Amen. Isn't that good? Well, let's look at this psalm, if you will. You'll just kind of break it down and notice just a few things about it with me, if you would. First of all, I want you to notice what David, the psalmist here, is saying. He is saying some things about this God, about his God. And really, as I say, it extends on from that idea, and it goes on into the idea of the one that is our shepherd. Amen? Jesus is our shepherd. He is our God, and he is the one that we are expecting. He is the one that we are looking for. Thank God, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? But here he decides to tell us a little bit about that magnificence of him. First of all, look at this, if you will. As you look in verses 1 and 2, as he begins to describe me, he said, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within, or therein. He said, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall descend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? I want you to see what he's saying. First of all, you and I need to understand, if we can, in the wisdom that we have, which is not very much, but you and I need to understand this psalm gives us that portrayal, and we see him. He is viewed as the creator. He is viewed as the creator. God is the creator of everything. I know it hadn't been too awfully long ago that we got into that in the book of Colossians, and we talked about how that he made everything that is made, and there isn't anything that's ever been made that he didn't make it. Amen. He's the creator of everything that is. And you know what that does, what that presents to us? It presents to us the idea that the Lord owns everything. He is the creator of it all, and he is the one that can claim it all. Amen. It all belongs to him. Everything that there is belongs to him because it was made by his hand. You see what the psalmist says here in verse number 1? He says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The fullness of the earth. There's nothing that you can see or think of in this world that doesn't belong to God. Everything. I mean, it all belongs to Him. It's all His. Amen. Well, you say, well, I've got my bank account over here, and I've got a good deal of money. Can I tell you, it all belongs to Him. Amen. Well, I've got a pasture out here, and it's full of cows and sheep and my animals of some sort. Hey, it all belongs to Him. Everything in this world belongs to Him. All the gold under the hills, all of the oil beneath, all the stratus. I mean, it's just everything in the face of the earth. It all belongs to God. He's the one that is the owner, the fullness. He owns the fullness of everything that there is in this old crazy world. Amen? Oh, I know men like to think, boy, we're in control. We've got assets and we've got our stuff and our goods and all. Yeah, we're about like the old guy was that Jesus talked about that said that, well, his fields brought forth, his barns was full. What was he going to do? I'll tear down my barn, build bigger. And you know what he said? He said that when that time came, that man drew one of his last breath, and God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who will these things be which thou hast provided? All of your stuff one of these days is going to go to somebody else. It don't belong to you. This earth and everything there is about it belongs to the Lord God of heaven. Amen? Everything. I mean, he talks about God's creation. It's His. It belongs to Him in its fullness. But don't you understand this? It belongs to Him in even its foundation. Look in the latter part of that verse. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Look what he said in verse 2. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Amen. Y'all remember when in the book of Job, God is talking to Job and he asks him, you know, Job gets to kind of feeling like, you know, something's been left out and he's been cheated and he needs to know why and God needs to tell him some things and God needs to answer to him. I mean, do you ever feel that way sometimes? God, you owe me an explanation. Why did this happen in my life? Why did this happen to so-and-so? Why did that over there go on? You know, we wonder those things sometimes. And God looks at Job and he said, well, let me ask you something. Where were you when I was busy creating all of the heavens and the earth? Amen. Oh, can I tell you, the foundations of all of these things that you and I see, and even many of the things, and there's much more that you and I don't even see, it's all founded upon the power and the might of our God, the Creator. I mean, He's the Creator. He's the one, man, He's made every bit of it. The fullness of this earth, the foundation of everything, He has put it on its foundation. Amen. Can I tell you something, folks? Hey, somebody goes out here and builds a building and they get it all set up, and you know what? It's set on some kind of foundation. Can I tell you, that foundation is the key. That foundation is it's got to be right. The foundation has to be square. The foundation has to be solid. The foundation has to be sure, because if not, that building could be in trouble. Aren't you glad God's put this thing on a solid foundation? He said it himself. He's established. And brother, it ain't going nowhere until he says it's time for it to go somewhere. Amen. He is the God, the Creator. In its fullness. Everything that is in its fullness. Everything and its foundation. And I want you to know this. He's the Creator. And it belongs to Him forever. Forever. I mean, this is something that belongs to Him. Well, who's going to run this thing, preacher? When God gets out, He ain't going out of the way. He's not coming off the throne. Nobody's going to overrule Him. Nobody's going to override Him. Nobody's going to overrun Him. You know what? That's already been tried once. Amen? And guess what? The devil got kicked out of heaven because of it. Amen? Jesus said, I was there and I saw him fall from heaven as lightning in the sky. I seen his descent. I seen him being thrown to the earth. Thank God, you're not going to get control of what God has created. Amen. I know, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I know there are people and that believe some things today that are going on, and there probably are a lot of things going on, a lot of crazy things going on. And some of them, I read them, and I think, boy, you know, that's probably true. But can I tell you, it looks like sometimes there's people trying to destroy people off of the earth, trying to get rid of populations, or trying to thin down the population, or trying to change the events of this world. And they're doing it through maybe scientific, or through medical, or through technological ways. They're trying to do it. But can I tell you something? God's still in control, honey. You and me ain't going nowhere till he gets ready. Amen. Because this is his creation. He has created this. He has made it all. And it will all exist until he says no more. You know, over in the book of 2 Peter, Peter talks about how that there are scoffers. And they say, where's the promise of his coming? And yeah, this things are going on just like they always have. And I mean, I guess to a degree that's true, but things have changed down through time, all right? If you look at that, you understand things have changed. But I'm telling you, the Bible said that God has reserved everything until its own time. And then one day, this world will melt with a fervent heat. You know how that's going to happen? It's going to happen at the mouth and the word of God. And not until then. He has made everything that he has made. And it's up to him to change it. It's up to him to cleanse it. It's up to him to regulate it whichever way that he sees fit. Me and you ain't got nothing to do with it. Say amen right there. I'm just telling you, he is the creator. So this psalm looks at him, number one, as the creator. But second of all, he's viewed as the creator. But second of all, he is voiced as the chief one that should be in our worship. He should be the chief object. He should be the chief desire. He should be the chief words of our worship. Look what he says in verse number 3. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Listen to what he says. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Well, I want you to notice what he's saying here. When you and I get ready to worship, I'm telling you, he ought to be the chief thing that you are centered on. The chief idea. Look, sometimes we get people that get so wound up in worship and they're, oh, well, we're worship, and boy, we're looking at the Baptist idea. Well, listen, I am a Baptist. I believe Baptist doctrine. I believe the Baptist fundamentals of the faith. I believe all that stuff, but I want to tell you something. Better than that, me and you better be worshiping God. Amen. Jesus told us. He said to the little lady by the well, she said, well, you know, we say over here in Samaria, here at Mount Gerizim, that's where men ought to worship. You say over in Jerusalem, it's where people ought to worship. And we just can't agree on that. You know, that's the way the world is today. The Muslims say, oh, you've got to make a trip to Mecca. I mean, you've got to worship and go down to the great cathedrals that they built, to the mosques and all of those. You know, that's the only place. And we say, no, you got to go down to Baptist Church. Can I tell you, you better be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Jesus told that lady, he said, well, you say here, and then you say the Jews say there. He said, I'm telling you, the time is coming, and now is, where it's neither here nor there. But God is a spirit, and he seeketh such to worship him. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So he is voiced as the chief object in our worship. Notice, if you will, though, there's a question. He says in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Boy, isn't that a question that people want to know the answer to today? Oh, where, who? Oh, how's this to be? And people have those questions today. Who's going to be able to go before the presence of the Lord? What's it going to take for people to go and be in the place of worship? I'll tell you, hey, that ain't a bad thing to ask yourself, really. What does it take to worship? I'll tell you, when you get ready to worship, you better have something and somebody to worship, amen. As I said, God is a spirit, and He's to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and He is seeking such to worship Him. What does that mean? He's looking for some spiritual worshipers. It's not, you know, who can necessarily shout the loudest and who can run the fastest and who's got the most letters and symbols behind their name and who's been got the most money piled up and the biggest churches and the highest salaries. Now, that isn't it for Him. That's not it. Hey, spiritual worship is much more. And the writer here says, here's the question. Who's going to be able to ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who's going to be able to stand in His holy place? There's a question that's been put forth. How am I enabled to go and stand before this God that's so glorious? How am I going to get there? Can I tell you the short answer is Jesus. Amen. That's how you're going to get there. That's how I'm going to get there. That's how anybody that's going to get there is going to get there, by knowing, claiming, and proclaiming Christ Jesus as Lord. Amen? I mean, you see, he has the question. He makes a question. But not only that, beyond that, he said, let me just tell you about how that reception goes. How to be received? Look what he says in verse number 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen. The way that you're going to find yourself in a place of worship, the way you're going to find yourself in the place of coming to the Lord, the way you're going to find the answer to that question is simply this. It's going to be he that hath clean hands. Now, listen, he's talking about some things in particular here, and don't get the idea that it's going to be your works and the things that you've done yourself to get you in this position. But he said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. I want to tell you, he's talking about somebody that's gotten some cleansing, but it didn't come from self, okay? Your cleansing came from another source other than your own self, your own ways, and your own will and desire. Brother, this came from the Lord. Who's going to be able to stand? Here's the way, and these are the ones that God is going to receive himself. Those who the Lord has cleaned up. Got clean hands, got a pure heart, got a cleaned up mouth, amen, and not lifted his soul up. He's not full of pride and of himself. He is somebody that has made himself ready to go into the presence of the Lord, amen. Can I tell you, back in these days, when the priest got ready to offer the sacrifices, those days they had, you know, the sacrificial lambs and the offerings that they brought, all of those things. Before the priest could go and perform those duties, he had to go through some ritual cleanings. He, if you remember, you talked about all the things that there were in the tabernacle, and you know you've heard some of the other preachers preach on the tabernacle and the items of it, all of that. Some of that, there was a place of cleansing. You went in, and one of the first things they had to do, they had to wash their hands. They had to wash their hands so that they'd be clean. But I want to tell you something else. They had to be pure in their heart and their soul. They had to offer a sacrifice for themselves first before they went and began to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Why is that? Because, buddy, we ain't nothing but vile, rotten, stinking creatures before God. And can I tell you, the way you get cleansed from that is by me and you today presenting ourselves to the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, we can come before his presence today. The writer Paul over in the book of Hebrews talks about that over in chapter number 10. And he begins to talk about how that here's the way. He talks about that there's been a way made, and it is through the veil, that is to say the blood, the body of the Lord Jesus. We've come through his flesh. We've entered in, and now we can go boldly into the presence of God because we have been cleansed by that precious blood. Amen? That's why I'm telling you, that's the way. You know, not just anybody and everybody going to be able to stand up and do whatever they want to and act out and do all this kind of crazy stuff. Brother, you got to be right with God. I mean, I've seen people, man, they jump up and get in a church and hoop and holler and carry on. And then the next hour, the next day, you're seeing them out here acting like a devil himself and got a foul, filthy mouth and out here involved in vile stuff. Hey, that ain't a God, amen. And it's not one of those that thinks they're better than everybody else and looks up into heaven and looks down their nose at other people. That's not it. Brother, we got to come before God, and I'm talking about in a clean spirit, in a right way, with a pure heart. I'm talking about cleansed. I'm talking about washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that's the way we got to come before him. All right? So the psalmist says he is voiced here in this psalm as the chief object of our worship. And you see the question, who's going to be able? You see the reception in verses 5 and 4 and 5. And then in verse number 6, you see the distinction. He said, this is the generation. It's not, as I said, not just everybody. This is the generation, he says, of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. I mean, there's a difference in those that want to come and play church and those that just want to, that really want to come and worship God in church. Oh, listen, you'll hear people and say, well, what'd you do yesterday? You can go on your job tomorrow. And, oh, we went to worship on Sunday. Did you really go to worship? Did you really show up and get in onto the worship of the Lord? Were you really here for the function and the purpose of worshiping the Lord God of heaven? Or did you just kind of show up, go through the motion, turn around and go home and say, well, you know, I've been to worship. Oh, let me tell you. You know, there's that old song, and I think we've sang it a few times. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? Amen. I mean, there's a difference in real, solid, heartfelt, God-sent, I mean, God-breathed upon worship than just going through the motions. Because there's a lot of folks today, they went through the motions. They went at 11 o'clock and they stayed till 12 o'clock and they got out and they shook hands and they smiled big and they put something in the offering plate and they listened to the music and all of that. But I'm telling you, when you really want to go to church, thank God, it's a difference when you really have that distinction of worshiping God. Amen? He said, this is the generation of them. I mean, there are some that really earnestly and honestly want to go to church and meet with God. Boy, that's who we ought to be. That's who we ought to be. The Lord has, if the Lord's changed your life, if he's done something for you, then, boy, you ought to be ready just to come in this building and say, preacher, I'm here to worship God. I'm not here to dress a certain way and look a certain way and have be noticed and have people ooh and ah and let them thrill over the sound of my voice and, you know, all of that stuff. I just came to worship the Lord. Amen? Boy, that's the way that it ought to be. So he's viewed in this 24th Psalm as our Creator. He is voiced as the chief object of our worship. And then look at this last with me, if you will. He is valued as the conquering warrior in heaven. Listen to what it says. In verses 7 through 10, it seems like the thought and the tenor of this whole psalm changed. He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Oh, listen, It's not a question saying, we wonder who that is. It is a statement made through the way of a question to get attention. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then again he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then again in verse 10 he resounds that, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Thank God for that. Are you glad you know the King? The King of glory. I'm telling you, boy, when you get to see him, you understand that he is the one that he is valued to us as the conquering one that is a warrior. Whenever you see the titling that you see, the Lord of hosts, and that term hosts refers to the armies of heaven. And I want to tell you, he's the Lord. That means he's the head of that. He's the chief. He's the leader, if you will, of the host that are there to go to war in heaven. Amen? Look at him tonight and just notice this as we kind of get ready to close this up. He says, first of all, he makes, as I say, a statement in fact. Who is this King? And as a matter of fact, he mentions it twice. Who is this King? Who is this King? Why, we know who this King is. Boy, the psalmist has just written Psalm 22. We saw him come as the suffering servant of God. Psalm 22, you read about where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you turned your back and gone away and looked in another direction? Why is that there? But then in Psalm 23, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Here's the resurrected Christ, and he's the shepherd of all of those little sheep like me and you. We're just little sheep that are prone to stray and wander and get off the path and get out of the way. But thank God he comes and he gets us back. As I said there in verse number 3 this morning, he restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad he's the restorer of those things that you and I sometimes are lacking and missing in? He restoreth my soul. Amen? Oh, listen. And then here in this psalm, we see him as the mighty, the almighty, the Lord God, the King of glory. That's the statement that he's making. This is the King. Brother, are you ready for the King to come? Hey, can I tell you something? Whenever you read in this world about kings, I want you to know there are soldiers that stand at attention at the presence of the King. There are dignitaries that line up because they're lesser than the King. There are people that are ready to bow before him in his presence because he's the King. Can I tell you, me and you, as the redeemed of the Lord, we're going to look at him one day and we're going to proclaim he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lord God Almighty. All of heaven's going to proclaim it. As I've told you many times, John says over there in Revelation chapter number 5, he's looking at this scene and he sees this scroll and it can't be opened, and he begins to weep because he wants to know what's in it. And one of the angels there said, hey, weep not. He said, there's somebody here that's going to be able to open it. And old John said, well, there ain't nobody been able. Nobody's worthy. Nobody's got the honor or the power to do it. He said, look over here and see who's coming. He said, I look and behold, he said, he looks like a lamb that's been slain. But then I realize he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, and when he walks in, all of heaven is at attention before him. And John said, I heard these voices. He said, I saw this crowd. It was 10,000 times 10,000 people and thousands of thousands. And they all looked at him and they began to sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Woo. They began to sing that song. They cast their crowns at his feet. They praised him. They worshiped him. There was a time out in heaven just to have a shouting spell, y'all. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the way that it ought to be. Who is this king? We know who he is. There's a statement of the fact of who he is. But there is a supplication of the faithful. Look what it says there in verses 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the Lord of glory shall come in. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, it's a supplication, it's a prayer, it's a desire to see, oh, lift up those gates. Let him enter into our presence. Can I tell you, man, when you get ready to go to church, you and I ought to pray, God, open up the gates of heaven and come on in. We want you to come down and visit with us. We need to see you. We need to be like Isaiah was in Isaiah 6 when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the glory and the power and all the majesty of him filled that little temple. Thank God. He said, I saw him, and the smoke was everywhere. Amen. I mean, we ought to be in that position. We ought to realize, man, as I say, we're in the presence of the King. The supplication of those that are faithful. They're saying, Lord, the doors open, gates spread wide. We want the King to come on in. Isn't that the way that you and I are as the saved people of God? And then last of all, notice this. Who is this King of glory? He asked that twice. But look what he says the answer is. The Lord, in verse number 8, the Lord strong and mighty, and the Lord mighty in battle. Verse number 10, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, I want you to notice, he is the sovereign of forever and forever. He is the King of glory. One of these days, and this is just, you can't even imagine this. I can't even hardly think of it. We're going to stand in the very presence of our God one day. We're going to stand in his presence, and we're going to be there with the King of glory. I've never been around a president. I've never been around a prime minister of a foreign country. I've never been around a king. I've never been around a prince. I've never been around anybody like that. But I want to tell you something. One of these days, we're going to stand before the King, and he's going to receive us as his very own. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells me and you over in the book of Revelation that one of these days we're going to sit at a banquet table, and we're going to be served at the marriage supper by the very bridegroom himself. Jesus is going to come. And I don't know how to react to that. I don't even know what to say about that. All I know is that I understand it as an absolute truth, that it will happen one day. And can I tell you, I think it's going to be one day very soon. We'll be in the presence of the King of glory. Do you know this King tonight? Is he your King? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a verse of song, if you would, this evening. Who is this King of glory? Well, he is the Lord of hosts. He's the King. The King of glory, the King that we've waited for, the King that is anticipated, the King that is glorified. He is the King that we've all been expecting to come at any moment. Is he your King tonight? Is he your King? Why are we standing? Why are we going to sing, Brother Ron?